May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 1124. 1124. I fain would love the day of rest, would still esteem this day the best, but oft, alas, I've need to say how barren is my soul today. Hymn 1124.
From the most holy word of God, from the first epistle general of Peter. We'll read chapter 1, then turning to the last chapter, chapter 4. Chapter 4. We'll read from verse 12, but firstly chapter 1, the first epistle general of Peter. Peter, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to these strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Then turning to chapter 4, reading just those last few verses from verse 12, including verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evil doer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, oh, do look down upon us, we plead in mercy, as thou hast once again spared our unworthy lives to gather in thy courts on this another Sabbath day. Realizing of a truth, that thou dost maintain the breath of man, and thou canst take it in a moment, but thou hast spared us. And, O Lord, may it please thee, as thou hast so spared us to gather in thy courts, we might be found even here this day, like those Greeks of old. With us, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, realizing of a truth that eternity before us, and a tremendous sound it is it not? A tremendous sound with all its unnumbered years. Abroad, him like this, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? How is it whilst life shall last? How will it be when called to die? Oh, prepare us each, O Lord, we plead. May we know that preparation of the Spirit. May that be our desire. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, take us each in hand. Ah, take us each in hand. Work mighty in our hearts that good thing. Ah, that fear of the Lord. And all may it be in time, that tender fear of the Lord, that which is that filial fear, which is through love. But all the fear of the Lord, which is a beginning of wisdom. But all, when Christ is revealed to a poor sinner, their hope of glory, as there, that one that was there, is there, ransom their souls, redeem them from the hand of the enemy, save them the wrath to come. Or when there's a measure of that knowledge made known unto a poor sinner, and that imputed righteousness, when they are brought to see what it costs thee, the Lord of life and glory. Ah, yes, that one that bore the sword of divine justice, and it satisfied the law in every jot and tittle in their room, place and stead. Then Christ will be precious indeed, and sin will be exceedingly sinful. And so we plead, take us each in hand, or leave us not to a form of godliness which hath no power, or a form of godliness which hath no power. Oh, how solemn it will not stand in that latter day, in that last great battle, a form of godliness, which is no more than that of the flesh, but all must be that which is of the Spirit, and the work of God, by the power of God. Lord, we plead then, work mighty in the youngest, and those in the midst of life, and us older ones also. For that day is before us each, that day of judgment. Ah, yes, we read, do we not, after death, there is a judgment. But all to be found in that day, clothed upon with that robe of Christ's righteousness, and washed in his sin-atoning blood, all to be shut in with Christ, that place of safety, that place of safety. So do work mightily, Lord, in each one of us, and prepare us each for that day. But, O Lord, thou hast brought us each from those varied and various scenes of life, the cares of this life, the troubles and trials of the way. And we plead then, do undertake for each one, manage all by the way unto the end. And, O Lord, thou knowest that some, they walk in very dark and tried paths. They wonder where the seam will end, and they find they have no might in that battle, no wisdom to, as it were, manage their affairs. And they are brought to this, Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Lift up the light of thy counsel upon me. Speak the word. Ah, thou knowest, Lord, we plead, such that might be in thy courts this day, that have come up, bowed down, and their cares and their troubles and their sorrows oppress them, and they find also an oppressor, Satan, at their right hand to resist them. Ah, perhaps even tempting them thus, why go again to the house of God? Ah, why go again to the house of God? But oh, what a mercy indeed. That little grain of living faith, though damped, it can never die. And thou wilt once again raise it to a flame. But that little grain of living faith will enable them, as the Spirit moves within them and breathes upon them, will enable them to go again, looking alone unto Jesus. Ah, yes, and may it please him. Thou wouldest grant them their soul's request, grant a little help, a little easement, a little lifting up. Oh, they might yet see that thou wilt, thou hast a purpose toward them, a purpose of grace in it all. Lord, thou knowest how at times it is days of darkness and distress are our portion here below. We often think of those words in Isaiah's prophecy. They that feared the Lord, that have obeyed the voice of his servants, but they walk in darkness and have no light. Oh, how often it is so. Ah, we look back to those times when we were dandled upon the knees, when thy word was again and again unto us, meat and drink, meat and drink. But oh, it is now days of darkness and distress are our portion here below. But oh, let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. And so do grant that gracious enabling to wait on, to plead on, to groan on, and ever be looking up, to ever be looking up unto that one that is the author of their faith, that one that shall be the finisher of their faith. Do remember then one or another that may be in affliction's path. Lord, bless all the means that are available in our day for afflicted friends. Lord, we thank thee for medications, and we personally come even there. Yes, thou hast given men wisdom to find out this and find out that. And in the wonders of thy creation, thou hast provided those the materials, if we can put it in that way. A man has been given wisdom to find that this or that, alleviate this condition or that condition, or grant a measure of healing and restoring. And so we thank thee for them. But oh, we plead thy sanctification upon these things. Thou sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. And it is each in our afflictions and difficulties to say, thy will be done. Lord, do what seemeth thou good. And he leadeth forth for the right way, that we might go to that city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God. And so do remember any in their afflictions. Remember those in their, perhaps in their senior years, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Undertake for them, O Lord. May they find those everlasting arms underneath them. The everlasting arms of an eternal God. That one has been their refuge, their strength in times past. That one has brought them thus far. May they prove this. That one that has brought them hitherto will help them all their journey through and give them daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. And do remember the dear little ones, the young ones. Lord, we thank thee for them as we see them in thy courts. Lord, may it please thee. They might be found amongst those pillars in Zion in their day and generation. Lord, work might in their hearts, Lord. And that which is undertaken in the Sabbath school, may there be that which remains in their heart and works mightily there by the power of God. There may be in due season that a word which thou wilt, by thy mighty power, use to awaken them and work by that word. Even young, whilst young in years, by that means of their salvation. But oh, what a mercy. If they, as they're spared to go on in life, the word of the Lord might be unto them again and again, even that which they've heard and learnt in their younger years, might be unto them meat and drink in their season, in their seasons of trouble, in their seasons of sorrow. Lord, thy word, it is precious indeed. And so to remember the young, remember those that are going on into life and all that concerns them there. Enable them to cast their burdens upon thee and seek that thou wouldst manage all for them by the way unto the end. And remember those that, they have those positions now as they are brought to those years. And they now have those positions they have to fill, those paths which they have to walk, which has to point it for them. And that which has given their hands to do, may they be able to do it as if it were unto the Lord. But Lord, do remember each then, whatever their age and their, whether it is the very young or those in their younger years and youth and young manhood and womanhood. Lord, remember them, hedge them about. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Keep them close to thee. And remember those, the parents we seek for them. It is a day of evil. It is a day where evil is called good and good is called evil. There is much to counter all those things which are thrust upon the young and well thrust upon us each. Lord, do give them wisdom to answer those things. And no doubt there will be many difficult questions from time to time. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. And remember each one then in the midst of life with all its cares. Providential. Lord, we live in a day of many cares that can come in a moment. But may there be a proving that thou art a God of providence, as well as a God of grace, a God for time as well as for eternity. May there be a proving this, that the gold and silver are thine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And sometimes we look back with wonder and see those gracious provisions as we've journeyed on, as we've, had our path which has appointed for us in this vale of tears, in this waste-howling wilderness. And we've seen those times and seasons when thou dost even command, like it was in the days of the prophet of old, thou didst command the ravens to feed him, those unclean birds, and so it was. And and sometimes we look back and see those times and seasons when even those of the world were moved by Almighty God to provide for us. And we thank thee for it. Thou art a God of providence and a God of grace. And truly the gold and silver are thine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And so to remember each one then. But all we have to prove this, that man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. And as thou hast spared us to gather in thy courts this day, may thy word go forth in the power of the Spirit and accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Maybe a crumb unto one or another, a little sip from the well of salvation. And maybe that light that shines in darkness. Maybe the word of the comforter. Thou knowest the needs of each one. And so do remember each one according to their need. But we thank thee for that day in thy courts. And may it be that day which is better than a thousand. And so we plead for this little gathering of thy people here this day, and as they gather Sabbath by Sabbath and the week evenings likewise, and all the little hills of Zion, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And all, if it could please, it might be a building up, a building up. Thou knowest where thy dead elect are. Thou knowest where they are even in Swavesey and the surrounding areas and throughout this nation, the nations of the earth. And may it please hasten that time when thou wilt take them in hand, bring them to that time of need. And they have to come into thy courts, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Likewise the prodigals. Bring back those that have turned aside. Perhaps some have turned aside many years ago. They've gone away from thee as far as sheep can run. But, Lord, we plead, do yet put forth thy mighty hand and arrest them in their mad career. May they know what it is to be brought to that time of great need, soul need. Ah, soul need. Ah, may it please it, perhaps even through those things which take place perhaps in families or in the nation or nations of the earth. It might be those brought to consider their latter end. Ah, to realise of a truth, that day must come. That day must come. Ah, yes, and may they be brought to call upon thee. Ah, yes, and to seek for mercy. Ah, we plead then. Do yet work might in the heart of many, and awaken many sinners round to come and fill the places. And do remember also this guilty, sinful land and nation. Lord, have mercy upon us. We sin against light and knowledge. O most gracious God, do spare that which we deserve. And we deserve that which thou didst bring upon those cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. For we sin the same sins. But, O Lord, we plead, may we be found amongst that remnant that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. O most gracious God, do turn us once again as a nation, and we shall be turned. Show our leaders what they ought to do. We are exhorted to pray for those that have the authority over us, those that rule over us, and so we would. Oh, show them what they ought to do. Oh, we plead. Open their eyes. Yes, and we also plead this, to frustrate the evil designs of men. Frustrate their evil designs. But oh, we thank thee that we can still gather here without the fear of man, or none can lawfully make us afraid. And we thank thee that we have thy word in its entirety. Maintain it to the generations, we plead. We know that thy word cannot be destroyed. But certainly there are many in our day that would seek to remove those portions of thy word which offend them, which cut them off. We feel that there is a day coming when there will be restrictions put upon men that they cannot speak thus according to thy word. But, O Lord, do enable us as we go forth in thy name to stand for the truth, not to fear men's frowns nor court their smiles, but to speak faithfully and to warn and exhort. Yes, thy word contains many warnings and many exhortations, warnings to the wicked. But those exhortations concerning those that are brought to fill their need, there is a precious Christ, one that did give his life a ransom, one that is truly the Lamb of God once slain, one that truly did, lay down his life for sinners. And what a mercy when the Spirit leads this one and that one. It might be through those exhortations as thy servants speak, as they, through the foolishness of preaching, but thou dost by the Spirit use that to work in the heart of men, and they cry unto thee for mercy. And Lord, we would not be unmindful of those that mourn. There are those that mourn. And as we look upon those things which have taken place, Lord, we plead that thou hast comfort. Comfort one another. Go to that family where they are and all those that mourn with them. Lord, we plead for them. And we likewise plead for those others that were involved also. We would not be unmindful of them. But oh, do comfort those that mourn. Draw near unto them and speak the word. Oh, we thank thee that thy word does declare. Thou didst declare it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so we plead that thou wouldest, if it could please him, grant those comforts, speak the word. But Lord, may it please thee through these things, there might be that wrought in the heart of many. Ah, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, soul trouble, soul trouble. But Lord, do help us now. This poor one is in need of thy help. Lord, we're but an empty earthen vessel. And Lord, we plead that thou wouldest pour in, that we may pour out. There might be a portion for seven and a portion for eight this day. Ah, and often we think of those words, and we thank thee for it. Muzzle not the ox when he treadeth out the corn. The one that labours in thy name, they have as much need, if not more, but certainly have those needs. Lord, do us each good, speaker and hearers alike, and send none empty away, we plead. But now, O Lord, pardon and forgive our many, many sins, our often failings, our constant shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1116. Stricken, smitten and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, 'tis a true and faithful word. Hymn 1116.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Psalm 11. Psalm 11, and we'll read verse 5. Especially as comes to my mind, and upon my mind, the first part of verse 5, we'll read the whole of verse 5. Psalm 11. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Psalm 11, so especially first part of verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. The Lord trieth the righteous. We read those two portions out of the first epistle, General of Peter, and it speaks, does it not, concerning that trial of faith. That trial of faith in the first chapter, in that fourth chapter, the fiery trials. The fiery trials. And that we barely believe that those righteous, well, they're not righteous in their own eyes. They feel quite the opposite to that. They know a little of what the apostle could declare of himself, of sinners of whom I am chief. And if that has been wrought in your heart by the Spirit, yes, where you feel to be amongst the chief of sinners, and you've had to confess that you are a sinner, then are you not amongst those loved with an everlasting love? And I know a little of that work of the Spirit quickening. That quickening work. These are the elect, are they not? The elect according to the foreknowledge of God, which we read in that first epistle, General Peter. And it is to, as the apostle declared and spake, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Well, we look upon it like that, the four corners of the earth, of every nation, kindred, and tongue, there is a people that shall show forth his praise, and they are the elect. Elect according to foreknowledge of God, chosen of God the Father in eternity past, and written up in that book, The Lamb's Book of Life. And the Father gave that number that no man can number, gave them to the Son. And they are the church, his bride. And what a mercy, God the Spirit, shall take the things of God and of Christ and reveal them unto poor sinners. Reveal them unto poor sinners. And so there will be that time when this one or that one, here or there, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and by the blessed Spirit, the Spirit will take up that abode in their heart and work mightily there. And they will know a little of this. Then they cried unto the Lord. And so the question is, do we know anything of those soul cryings unto the Lord? Yes, sometimes we look back to those times when we thought we prayed, and no doubt, like the apostle, as he was Saul, he no doubt thought he prayed, but it was not that which was of the Spirit indicted from, within him. It was no more than that of the flesh. And when we look back to those years, there were those what we thought were prayers, and there were no more than that which was of the flesh. But do we know then that which is of the Spirit? Yes, that which is of the Spirit, working within by the quickening power of the Spirit, that which is that newness of life. And that newness of life, that one will be brought to see what he is, what they are, what they were by their conception, they were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Ah, yes, now brought to tremble under the law. These are those elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. There will be that wrought in them by the Spirit, and the Spirit will reveal to them the things of Christ. Yes, unto obedience, they'll be brought to that, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That will be revealed to them, taught to them, savingly taught to them, to the joy and rejoicing of their soul. So these are those that are described and spoken of in this chapter. And as the psalmist in that psalm, yes, the righteous, they are righteous in the eyes of God, through that which he, that imputed righteousness of Christ the Son, one that truly did stand in their room, place, and stead as their ransom by the shedding of his blood and by his sufferings, his death, and his merits. One that truly did satisfy the law in every jot and tittle. These are the righteous. And you may feel, well, Have I any hope? Have I that assurance of faith that I have a hope? But do you know what it is? Cry for mercy. Do you know what it is to be bowed down at times with that burden of sin? We can have many burdens as regards this life and the cares of this life. And they're lawful in their places, are they not? But we may, yes, we so burdened with them, but they, those things will perish at the end of our days. All those things will come to an end. But it's a never-dying soul and the need of a sinner. That's where eternity comes in. That's where eternity comes in. The never-dying soul. And that one that feels their need of one to save them. To ransom them, to pay the price for their sins, for their debt that they owe. That law which they often come under that condemnation, for they see there is that condemnation that rests upon them. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that condemnation is not just a natural death, but eternal death. Eternal death. Oh, and yes, as we think upon those things which have taken place, it brings us to realize. It brings us to realize that that is before us each, in the reality of it. Do we know what it is then to have that desire like we often quote, and we quoted in prayer, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. I believe if that has been wrought in your heart by the Spirit, you're amongst these, the elect. The elect, and they're in the eyes of God the Father, the righteous. Righteousness, which is of the Son. Yes, you'll have no righteousness your own, but that which is of Christ. That which is of Christ, that imputed righteousness. And so, as we read then that verse, or that part of that verse, we read the whole of the verse, the Lord trieth the righteous. And so it is. Their faith will be tried. Their hope will be tried. But oh, what a mercy. What a mercy. If it is that which is of God and of Christ and of the Spirit. And it is that which is of true faith. Though at times very damped, it can never die. It can never die. Is it not built upon that rock which is Christ? That sure foundation, if you have that grain of faith, that little grain of faith of a hope in Christ. We read concerning, well, Christ spake this concerning himself, being that sure foundation upon which the church is built, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. What a mercy indeed. It is declared, or God, the Son of God declared it, the gates of hell, yes, upon this rock, meaning Christ, upon himself, upon this rock is a church built and founded, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The poor sinner at times, you find at times, it seems like, yes, that there is that which is going to prevail against it, bring it to naught. Will you read those accounts of those saints of old? My mind went back this morning again. You look back in the Old Testament. You think of the old patriarchs there, Abraham. His faith was sorely tried, was it not? But that son of promise is commanded to go and offer him up. Offer him up as a sacrifice. Offer him up. Ah, yes. But by faith he went, did he not? And by faith, when his son Isaac said to him, "See, here is the wood and the fire, but where is the offering? Where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham, by faith, yes, by faith, was enabled to say, "God shall provide himself a lamb." Yes, and so it was, that very moment when Abraham raised his hand to do that which Almighty God commanded him to do. Almighty God stayed his hand. And there was that provision. That ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And we know that there it signified that one to come, Christ, one that should stand in the room place instead of sinners by the offering of himself. But certainly it was that trial of faith as regards Abraham and that son of promise, which was Isaac. And then you read also of Jacob. And what a tried path he had. A tried path. And he knew what it was, did he not? To cry out. And perhaps you likewise find it at times the same. Some of us, we can come very close and into union with a Jacob of old. And we can come even like Jacob, "All these things are against me. All these things are against me." And perhaps one or another knows a little of that from time to time. They've known it in their path. The same sentiments, thoughts, even words may come forth from the lip. "All these things are against me." Like dear old Jacob, often thought of dear old Jacob, and perhaps you found likewise the same. The old adversary tempts you. Your old nature tempts you, and you think, "Your grey hairs have been brought down to the grave in sorrow." And I've often thought of that. I may have spoken of it before, but it comes again. And when Jacob spake thus, perhaps he thought all his hope, where was his hope? Grey hair being bound to the grave in sorrow, a place where there's no hope. No hope. His hope, perhaps he thought, was perished. All those promises which, yes, the Lord had spoken to him and were made known unto him were coming to nothing and seemingly to come to nothing. And perhaps he knew a little of this, like the Lord's people often prove this. The adversary says, "There, where is now your God? Where is now your God?" Yes, and your old nature also stirs up this. "Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But Jacob was to prove this, was he not? The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. He had his fears, yes he did. He had his fears. And you have your fears, and you'll prove likewise if you're amongst those chosen and elect, the elect of God, those that are nobodies that have grown under a burden of sin and had a little hope raised up. You'll find at times, yes, the adversary comes in like the storm against a wall, and you'll wonder whether you have any hope, whether you've set out in the right way, whether you know anything of that way. But you'll prove a blessed comforter. You'll prove one that does. Yes, in that moment of time, not leave you to sink, not leave you to perish in the wilderness, but yes, lifts up the light of his countenance upon you. And you'll prove like the psalmist could then declare, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And then we have that one, that account of Job. Been reading in our readings at home, we got to the book of Job. And once again, I find what a mercy that is left in Holy Writ. That account of Job is left and on record in Holy Writ for the church of God down to the end of time. Yes, and Job's path was sorely tried, was it not? And no doubt his hope was tried. Well, you read concerning Job. I have to confess, for many years I knew nothing of the pathway of Job or could enter into it. And so to me it was no more than an account of a man, perhaps many years ago. But oh, what a mercy it is left on record for the church of God. The church of God, and it shall be down to the end of time when they prove there is a trial of their faith. Their faith shall be tried. And so we read as regards Job, Almighty God said concerning him. And this is God's declaration of him. He was a perfect and upright man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. He's walking in that narrow way. He's found amongst those that walked in the fear of the Lord, as it said, as we just declared, as the word of God declares it concerning him. And yet, the sovereignty of God, and that which came to pass as regards Job in his path. And dear old Job, yes, we read, do we not? There came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And so he does. Satan, going about seeking whom he may devour. Going about. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? That's Almighty God declaring that of him. And perhaps Job could not have said that of himself, but God said it. It is the word of the Lord God there. There is none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Ah, yes, so this was Satan. Satan had that knowledge, and he had seen that which, under the blessing of the Lord, Job had, had partaken of. Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, the sovereignty of God, nothing takes place by chance. Yes, we may look upon our own paths and the paths of others and the paths of those of the Lord's people. And there are those things which perhaps we find hard to understand. And our old nature tries to reason it out. But nothing takes place by chance. And certainly some things might we might wonder at. In our own paths, we might see those things which we wonder at. And you might come with the hymn writer of old, and must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Well, you know that hymn. I may not have quoted it quite right. But must it, Lord, be so? Ah, all must come, another hymn writer put it, did he not? All must come, and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. Crosses and losses and crooks in the lot, afflictions and difficulties, things that, yes, bring you into dark places, the Lord calls them to come in his sovereignty. And like it was then here with Job, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, and upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And then you know the rest of that chapter 1, and the solemn tidings one after another. But oh, he was kept there, was he not, when, yes, at the end of all those tidings, he's brought to this. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Ah, yes, and you know the account then as it goes on in the second chapter. Even as regards his wife, and yes, even that which came upon Job himself, that affliction no doubt of his body. One thing after another as regards all his family, his possessions, and now, yes, even as regards his own body. But blessed be God, his life was hid with Christ in God. Touch not his life. There was that bound put upon Satan. And so in that time likewise, when his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Kept. Upheld. Yes, and he did not charge God foolishly. And he did not sin with his lips. But then you read in that third chapter, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, the night in which it was said there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God, a God, regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. And so on, you read that chapter at your leisure. But oh, it was a trial to Job, a bitter path, a painful path, a painful path. The Lord knows what your path is. He knows what the path of each one of his people is. And perhaps you look back and you can see those times and seasons when it was a bitter path, a painful path, a distressing path. But as we read those verses at the toward the close of the fourth chapter, beloved, think it not strange. Well, that's our old nature. It thinks these things are strange, out of place. Why must it be? Ah, why must it be? But oh, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Beloved, think it not strange. Ah, you brought there, poor sinner, and your old nature says, what a strange path, what a trying path, what afflictive dispensations it seems to be, often in darkness, dreading the night. Yes, the Lord's people are often found in that place. Ah, yes, and as he quoted it in prayer, they that fear the Lord, that obey the voice of his servant, but they walk in darkness and have no light. That word goes on, does it not? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. But do they not prove this? I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And when the Lord draws near, when the Lord draws near, did we not have a little of it in that hymn just now? Yes, and it occurs, does it not? With those verses in that fourth chapter of the first epistle of General Peter. When the poor sinner, in his tribulations and his trials and his difficulties and afflictions, and those things which are very hard to be understood, when there's crooks in the lot and things are turned upside down, they're brought by the Spirit to this, to meditate upon one, a precious Christ. Or when they see just for a moment one through the lattice of the gospel, the Christ of God, one verily God, verily man, one that knows their frame, for he took part of the same, and remembers that they are but dust. They're brought to meditate upon one that so suffered in their room, place, and stead, to consider him, yes, to consider Christ. Ah, and then for a moment, it sweetens the pain. There is that whereby, by faith, they can say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good, only lead me forth by the right way, that I might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. Ah, they're brought to see that is that path appointed, the trial of their faith. But that one that tries their faith will draw near unto them and manifest himself to them as their eternal refuge,
that place of safety, one that is everlasting strength. They'll be brought to see that one, yes, that truly did bear the sword of divine justice, gave his life a ransom, and now is set down upon the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. They're brought to see that one, that loveth at all times, that friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. And so, like we read, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, when his glory shall be revealed. Ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. But all the sufferings of Christ, then you'll be brought to see the trial, the difficulty, the tribulation. What is that? What is that compared to what your sins deserve? It is nothing. You do but taste the cup. You're brought to see that one has drunk it quite up. One that has drunk it quite up. I'm not sure I can find that in Job. But oh, did he not speak of that salvation? Not sure I'll be able to lay my eyes upon that chapter. But oh, he spake, did he not, concerning that day. That day when there would be that resurrection. No, I can't lay my eyes upon it at the moment. But oh, he's brought to see that day. Look to that day. But nevertheless, it was that day appointed for him, the trial of his faith. The trial of his faith. And now when there is that trial of faith, when there's that day of darkness, you'll know a little of the language of Job, whereby he said, even today my complaint is bitter. And my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he will put strength in me. Was I not speaking of strength in the inner man? The outer man decayed. The outer man decayeth. The weakness of the flesh. No, but he will put strength in me. He will put strength in me. And so in that chapter 23, he then goes on, does he not? And it is groaning under it. And it was a burden to him. Behold, I go forward. But he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But all that strength in the man by the Spirit, but he knoweth. He could say this by faith. That grain of living faith, he knoweth the way that I take. He knows your path also. Blessed be God, he knoweth your path and mine. He knoweth it from the beginning of it to the end of it. And this trouble or this that trial, he knoweth, he's caused it to come. He's caused it to come. And there may be then that way of darkness at the moment, deep groaning under that burden of that darkness. And that, longing for the Lord to appear. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. But we said that strength in the inner man. That is that which is by the Spirit. No, but he will put strength in me. Ah, that grain of faith, though damped, it could never die. Cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, all that faith to believe. Oh, may the Lord grant that faith to believe this, even as Job could say, when he hath tried me. Yes, that which he hath appointed. And some of us perhaps we find those trials go on, the troubles go on, it seems one thing after another. But oh, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind. Oh, the sovereignty of God. Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Only lead me forth by the right way, that I might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. He is of one mind. Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth, for he performeth. Oh, think upon this, poor sinner. This one tried in their path. Ah, things seem to be turned upside down, seemingly brought to naught. The adversary against you, seem to be your right hand to resist you. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. Ah, he performeth. He performeth. It reminds me of the psalm, if I can find it, but the time is just about gone. The psalm, what do we read? If I can lay my eyes upon the words. Yes, thou walk in Psalm 138. We read this in those last verses. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Thou walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And this last verse, the Lord will perfect that. Ah, and perhaps you feel, well, it's all come to nothing. My hope is perished. My bones seem to be scattered at the grave's mouth. Ah, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. He performeth. Ah, yes, he performeth and shall do. He will perform it. There's a purpose of grace in it. Ah, and you have to prove this, and like each one of those saints of old, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and neither are his ways as our ways. But ah, there shall be a performance of those things. Blessed be God. Ah, he hath begun that good work in you. Shall bring it to that right conclusion. That blessed conclusion at the end. But ah, perhaps at the moment, yes, fiery trials. A trial of your faith. And we have to prove this, do we not? There's much dross and tin to be consumed. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Beloved, think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be be glad also with exceeding joy. But it brings to mind one portion, and we must close. But oh, what do we read? And blessed be God, did not Job prove it? Although he couldn't perceive his God upon his right hand or his left behind before, but he could say this, he knoweth. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach again this evening and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Sunday school will be at Bethany, and there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Tim Parrish, and hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 212. 212. Why does your face, ye humble souls, these mournful colours wear? What doubts are these that try your faith and nourish your despair? Hymn 212.
Lord, do be pleased to bless that which is of thee. Ah, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance. Ah, in those times of darkness and distress. Ah, draw near in those times and scenes when it seems all these things are against. Ah, when the old adversary says, hath God, well, we find our own nature also, and our thoughts likewise. Or, yes, hath God forgotten, be gracious. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies. But, O Lord, may we prove a blessed comforter, a blessed comforter. And so we plead to grant those comforts, the comforts, yes, of one, a redeemer, one, a friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Ah, yes, thou knowest the need of each one, and thou knowest this poor sinner's need. Ah, we've often rejoiced in those accounts of those saints of old, and we do, and we're thankful that thou hast left them on record in holy writ. Ah, and we see in thy word thou didst not leave them, nor forsake them. Thou didst bring them home to glory at last through all. And so may it likewise be even unto poor sinners, that know what it is to tremble and be fearful and are afraid. And so we plead, do bless thy word. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to come up with us again at the evening hour. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.